Welcome to On the Mic Podcast. This is your host, Tim Drake. On today's episode, I talk with actor Jim O'Hare. Jim is best known for his role on NBC's hit show Parks and Rec, playing the lovable Jerry Gergich. It was great to finally get to know Jim a little bit. I've always been a fan of his since I first saw him on Malcolm in the Middle years ago. It's great to see, you know, everywhere that his career has taken him. Jim and I talked about his love for skiing while he visited Park City for the first time during this year's Sundance Film Festival. He didn't get to go skiing, but we talked a little bit about the area and kind of about his first experience. We also had a chance to kind of talk about his upbringing in the theater community and kind of how that's impacted his acting career so far. But I always love it when it comes to talking with actors, especially seasoned actors who have been in the business for a while. It's always kind of talking shop, being able to talk a little bit about the behind-the-scenes stuff that a lot of fans don't see. And it was great to kind of talk to Jim about, you know, what it really takes to make it in the industry and how it's continually a business, it's continually a job that as one thing ends, you know, you have to be able to just keep moving on to the next thing. And it was really great to hear, you know, his input, his advice for anybody that's, you know, looking to have some type of career within the entertainment industry. Now, we, of course, couldn't let Jim go without being able to talk a little bit about the upcoming final season of Parks and Rec. Getting a little insight, you know, of kind of how he feels everything has been coming to a head as this final season gets ready to start shooting in another couple months here. Jim is a really, really charismatic, very fun guy to talk to. It was, like I said, you know, it was great to finally get to know him, know a little bit about him, find out about some of the trips he's been on, and get a good inside look at Jim O'Hare. As for me, this week at Wise Guys Comedy, I'm finally gonna get my lazy ass back on stage and start working out some new stand-up material at open mic this Wednesday night at Wise Guys West Valley. I figure if I say it on the podcast, it's gonna make me do it, so I can't come up with any excuse to be lazy or let anything get in the way, because now that I've said it, it's out there, it's on here. You guys are gonna expect it out of me, so I've gotta be there. So make sure you come out and say hey and listen to the 3 minutes that I've got up on stage to work out some of this new stuff that's been bumbling around in my head and in my notebook for the last couple months. I think it's some funny stuff. So come out and give it a laugh and if it sucks, tell me it sucks. You know, we got to work this out. That's the way this business works. A couple of upcoming episodes of The Job Interview are about to air. Next up is an episode that we called I Just Want to Swing. It's an episode that we did as 100% improv. Right before we shot it, we came up with the basic structure of the episode and turned on the cameras and just went with it. And I think it came out pretty hilarious. I think you guys will really enjoy it. And then episode 3... which should come out within the next week and a half here. It's in the final stages of editing. Again, I think it's something you guys are really going to enjoy. In this episode, the character of Adam tries to learn a little bit about dating as he struggles through some dry spells. Thank you so much for all of the support. Thank you for continually listening to the show. Make sure to go on iTunes and Stitcher Radio and rate the show. Let us know what you think. Let all the other fans out there know what you think so that they can continue to listen. Thank you so much for the kind words that have already been said, both on the comment boards, as well as some of the emails and Facebook messages we've received. So this gets ready to release over Memorial Day weekend. I hope all of you guys are having a fantastic Memorial Day weekend. Make sure to pay tribute to those, you know, that we've lost, those that have served our country. And you know, pay your respects to them. It's not just all about a barbecue this weekend. So thank you so much for all of your support. I really hope you guys enjoy this episode. Again, thank you so much to Jim O'Hare for taking the time to sit down and talk. I really, really think you guys are going to enjoy this episode. Thank you again. Come out Wise Guys Comedy this Wednesday, open mic night, and enjoy this episode with actor Jim O'Hare. Hey, how are you today, Jim?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm good.
Good to hear. Where are we talking to you from?
Where are you at?
We are in Salt Lake City.
Is it pretty there too? Because today it's unbelievable here. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it has been absolutely gorgeous out here. I think we're looking at about 80 today, nice and sunny.
Yeah, that's the perfect. Yeah, I like high 70s, 80. It's not too crazy, and it's just you can go out and enjoy the day.
Yeah, it keeps it nice. I know while I was living in Los Angeles, when it started getting really hot, it would kind of creep up on you because you're so used to it. We notice it a lot easier out here because we'll have snow one day and then 80 the next day.
Yeah, which I think is cool too. I actually was in Salt Lake for the first time ever. I went to Sundance this year.
Oh, right on. I was actually up there covering some of it.
Oh, it was great. such a great time.
So did you hit the slopes while you were out there? Yeah, I mean, you have to ski when you go to Sundance.
Well, here's the thing. I love to ski, and out of the cast of, at the time, eight of us, five of us had to go to, Sundance for something. So they kind of said, I mean, and they were awesome because parks, they worked around everyone's schedule because it was a shooting week, and they still managed to figure out how we could all get there and be there when we needed to be there. And the only thing they did request was that we all come back in one piece. Please don't put skis on your feet. We only have three more episodes to shoot. So I was a good boy. I did go up to, what's the main one there?
There was Canyons is kind of the main one that's right there.
Okay, not Canyons, the other one. The Regency Hotel is at the top of it or near it. Anyway, but I did take a morning, and I just went, and I took the, the lift up to the top of the mountains. It was just awesome. Oh, my God. But it was almost cruelty, because I'm looking at all these people skiing, and it wasn't crowded. The skiing was pretty open, because I think, most people are down at the bottom doing the Sundance stuff, but, oh, was it gorgeous. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite time to go up there, especially all of the valley gets a lot of really bad smog that time of year, and so to be able to escape the smog and get up into the mountains there, it is such a beautiful sight. So it depressed me each time.
I did just a typical hot chocolate. I mean, I had some food. It was incredible.
Yeah, and I know that weekend was rough on a lot of people that were up there, not just being in shooting weeks, but I know the SAG Awards were also the first weekend. I bumped into Aaron Paul at a party for Stella Artois like the night before, and he was rushing out so that he could be back for the SAG Awards.
So on top of each other that time of year.
Yeah.
Well, it's too much, actually. It's just it's crazy. Everything, for some reason, they feel everything has to be between the 45 days, from January till March. I don't understand it. Yeah, crazy. But fun. I really had a great time.
Yeah, it's my favorite time of year as it gets into award season. You have some of those bigger festivals. It's fun. It's a whirlwind, but it's a blast.
It's exactly what it is. It's a whirlwind. You just say, here we go. Take off. And I, like I said, I had never been, and I was, Nick Offerman, he had said to me, it's going to be crazy when you're at Sundance. I said, well, what do you mean crazy? He goes, well, we've really got well known with that kind of crowd, the younger people and everything. And I thought, oh, it won't be that big of a deal for, my character or whatever. Well, it was craziness. I mean, the fans were all over the place. They were so gracious and so excited. And I mean, it just really, the whole experience for me was one of the best things I had done. I just loved every minute of it.
Yeah, I'm glad you were able to experience that. I mean, We're kind of spoiled in Salt Lake with being able to have Sundance and be so close to the industry during that time of the year. And I mean, this is my first year really being able to cover it as press and be able to meet a lot of filmmakers. And I mean, it's definitely a different feel when you're coming at it from that perspective than just being the local going up to try to check out some films. And I can only imagine being in your shoes. Yeah.
Yeah, you were part of it. Absolutely.
Yeah, I know Nick Offerman kept himself pretty well hidden during that entire time.
Well, he and Megan, his wife, Megan Mullally,
yeah.
It's really gotten crazy for them. I mean, Nick can certainly speak for himself, but between his popularity as Ron Swanson and her popularity as, from Will and Grace and everything she's done since, it's tough for them to even walk down the darn street. I mean, it's really...
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, it's really gotten intense. I know they try to find private time when they can get it.
Now, which film were you out promoting at Sundance?
You know what? I did last summer, actually around this time probably, I got a call from Aubrey Plaza, who, plays April on Parks.
Right.
And she said, I'm doing a film. Would you play a zombie mailman? And I said, hell yeah.
Yeah.
So I played the zombie mailman in a movie called Life After Beth.
Okay, yeah. I actually tried to go to the premiere of that and got double booked.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Really good. She was awesome in it. And I wish I could think of it. The male lead was amazing. He's in Spider-Man right now. He's a villain in Spider-Man. I can't think of his name. The young kid. Wait a minute. You know what? to do some crazy thing called the internet?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was doing. I was like, all right, let's check out IMDb.
And I'm going to find out life after Beth.
So I was picturing his face. I just saw him on Fallon the other night, and I was just like, I know this kid's name.
Dane DeHaan. Dane DeHaan, yeah. He was awesome. I mean, it's the two of them were just, he and Aubrey were just really great. So anyway, since I had never been to San Diego, I thought, well, I might as well go there the first time with something in it, you know. So that was my impetus to go, and then, like I said, I just had a great time.
So that's excellent. Now, are you working on any? I was looking at your IMDb, and I mean, you have a ton of projects that are all getting ready to release here. Are you currently filming anything while Parks is on hiatus right now?
Well, since Parks has been on hiatus, I've done a couple of things. I did something called Road Hard, which is Adam Carolla's new film. That was awesome. I had been a fan of Adam's for years, and so to get that call was like really exciting. And it's a really sweet script. It's just I think it's a story of what a lot of the stand-ups go through, and especially it's basically about a stand-up who had a big hit, a television series, and then when that's gone, sometimes you're back on the road again.
Yeah.
You know, like you still got to make money and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, Adam plays the lead. I play a guy at one of the clubs, one of the club owners who is perhaps not as forthcoming with the money and the agreement we had made, which I think happens a lot to those guys.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately. So I did that. I did a thing called something Basset Hound Bandit Hound. Bandit, the dog's name is Bandit. Anyway, it's a family film with Paul Sorvino was in it. I got to work with Paul, which was really cool. I'm a big fan of his. That's one of my favorite things about this biz, just getting to meet the people that, you know, I've been a fan with for so many years. And then I'm doing, you know, I did a bunch of, you know, different, well, shorts, and I did a Funnier Die that got released last week. Keeping busy, basically. And I've been doing some traveling, which has been great, too. I went to Europe for a little bit, and I went to, here and there over the past couple months.
Where in Europe did you get a visit?
You know what? I did Monte Carlo in Monaco, and then I did a little bit of France. I went to Nice, and then in Italy, San Remo. It's all kind of in the same area. You can literally do breakfast in Italy, lunch in Monaco, and dinner in France.
Oh, wow.
If you go to this area, you can do all three in one day. It was pretty amazing, yeah. And I'd always been, I love the Bond movies and stuff, you know, Monte Carlo and the gambling and all that kind of stuff. So that was my impetus to go there, and it was just great. Monaco is like nothing I'd ever seen.
Yeah, all I can think of when I hear anybody talk about Monte Carlo is fast cars, booze, and girls.
I mean, that's exactly what it was. Exactly. You got to have a lot of money, which I didn't, but you got to make do. I mean, these people, the money, the yachts are like, it's like floating hotels. I'd never seen anything like it. It was amazing. The cars, I mean, Maseratis, it's like, you know, driving around here, you know, you see a Chevy, they're just all over the place. It was amazing. It was really, really exciting. And this coming week is the Grand Prix. So, and I've never really been into it, but this year I'm going to be glued because I literally did the same. I drove the same route that they're going to drive. So, you know, it gives you a feeling of been there, done that kind
of thing. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's got to be an incredible experience, especially, you know, when you've driven the whole. I mean, did you ever just try to gun the gas so you could kind of get that same feel?
I'm in a rental from Hertz, so I did what I could do, and it's, you know, in Monaco, which I didn't know, that's in Monte Carlo, there's no crime, like, there's, and even for, like, if you're speeding, it's, you'll just see a flash, because it happened to me, and it means you're going to get a ticket, it's a whole different setup. So, I did what I could, and a flash went off, and I will be receiving a ticket. From what I hear, it's like a $200 ticket. So
oh, geez.
I still haven't seen it, so I'm hoping I got away with it. But from what I understand, that's not how it works. They will find me.
Yeah. You'll just get a knock at your door one day, and there they'll be.
Exactly. It'll be Prince Albert himself.
That would definitely be an interesting experience. And I had that happen to me with a parking ticket in downtown Salt Lake, where the parking police down there are just insane. And my wife had got a ticket after a concert, and I said, "Oh, forget about it. It's a $10 ticket. I've never paid one of these things. We don't need to worry about it."
Right, throw it away.
Yeah,
course.
Threw it away, and 4 months later, we're getting served papers at our door.
Are you serious?
Over
a parking ticket?
Yeah, over a $10 parking ticket that we ended up paying like $250 for in the end. And I was just like, "All right, I'll pay the $10 next time."
Oh, dude, that sucks.
Yeah, it was an eye opener.
Wow, for a parking ticket, that's a little intense.
Yeah, I realized I was in the wrong line of work when I realized that they were charging $175 for a filing fee.
My gosh!
It's like, wow, I file a lot of stuff.
There's a little something going on there.
Yeah. Well, Jim, as I was looking at your past here, I didn't realize how much stage work you had actually done. And that's been something that's really started to stick out to me with a lot of actors, where I've realized the importance of stage work.
Yeah, for me, I never had any formal acting training. I had improv training. I did different classes here and there, but it's not like I went to a university and got a theater degree. So I will always tell people, the greatest education I ever got was doing the theater, because I got to see what other people were doing. I got to see how different people have their own, process, how they handle, approaching a character and approaching a scene and all that kind of thing. So for me, theater is just one of the greatest things ever. And the toughest part about when you're on a series, it's tough to do theater because, we're working 5 days a week. So, and we're on we shoot single camera. So it's not like I can say, "Oh, I'm out at 5 o'clock." I could be out at 5 o'clock. I could be out at 2 in the morning.
Yeah,
you never know. So it's something that when Parks is officially done, I certainly hope to get back to, because it's there's nothing like it. There's nothing like walking on the stage, especially opening night. You're just definitely terrified, and then about 30 seconds into it, something just happens. And you just settle into this amazing experience, and it's live. You're getting immediate reaction from the audience, and it's different every night. And I just love theater.
So, do you feel like the actors that try to just strictly be film and television actors would benefit more from getting more of a stage experience?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I think though, there's some people that are terrified of it. I mean, they're absolutely terrified of it, which I don't know that I understand it, other than, when you do TV and film, there's stop and go, stop and go, stop and go.
Right.
You're doing theater, it's live. There's no anyone yelling, "Cut, let's do this again." And so I guess I can understand that craziness, that fear of, well, here we go, this is it. So there could be some of that. I think there's nothing like it. First of all, I'm the guy who, I don't understand how, as actors, we don't want to do all of it. I want to do film, television, commercials, theater. It's all performance. And, there's some film actors who would never do television, which is so ridiculous when you think about the kind of things that are on television these days.
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing television these days. And you hear those people, "Oh, television's garbage, there's nothing on." Well, sit down with me and let me show you my DVR. And I'll show you some amazing television, one of my favorite actors is J.K. Simmons. Do you know who that is?
I'm not familiar with him.
You'd know if you saw him. He's doing all the Farmers commercials now, but he's also on Oz, and he was just the lead in, the Growing Up Fishers, the NBC show?
Yeah.
He played the blind father.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, well, he's been around forever. That dude, his whole point is, I just want to do good work, whether it's a commercial, whether it's theater, whether it's film, whether it's television. And I just so belong to that. That's where my brain is. I totally agree with that. I don't care what it is, if it's good, if it's supposed to be funny, if it's truly funny, I'm on board. I love doing all of it. I have no weirdness about, well, if I've done film now, I certainly can't do television again, or if I've done television, I certainly can't do a commercial again. Oh, please.
Yeah.
I'm up for all of it.
And within this industry, too, I mean, work is work. You can be on a hit show and then have it, you know, just come to a screeching halt. And then all of a sudden it's like, all right, well, what's next? I mean, there's always the residuals, but, I mean, it's still a job.
Yeah, I had a life lesson years ago. And I won't say who the actor is, but I was at an audition. And I'm just sitting there. This is years before Parks. And in my mind, as an idiot who didn't know any better, I just thought, once you're on the series, well, then you go to another series and you just offered work constantly in that bet. Well, I was at an audition for some guest spot on a TV show, and an actor came in who I had watched every week on a major television show. And it was such an eye-opener for me because I thought, wow, he's back to the grind. He's in the same room I'm in. He's going to go in. He's going to audition and, you know, hope he gets the part, just like I'm doing. So that was an eye-opener to me to go that there's no guarantees. You know, just, you know, because when I say he was on a major show, I mean a show that had gone 7 or 8 years. Like, it was a major show.
Oh, wow.
And he was just back out there. And I thought, wow. Okay, so that's how it is. So it was a good lesson for me to see because, number one, it tells me, like, you know, when the Parks is going to end, there's no guarantees. You know, I hope to go to another show. I hope to do all this other stuff. Hope, hope, hope. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But I also know I'll be back out there auditioning, you know, trying to get other work.
And from the looks of it, I mean, you will be getting plenty.
Well, I hope. You know, there's, you know, Tim, it's, you know, ebbs and flows. It's such a ridiculous, crazy business that we're in. And that being said, I can't imagine doing anything else. I literally have no other skills, so I would probably just be at the off-ramp asking for money. But I'm not foolish enough to think it's guaranteed. Like, I know that I still have to work for it. I know that I still have to keep my eyes open for what's available. I have to, I can't just wait for phone calls, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think it was Steve Carell I had heard talk about, I can't remember whether it was Down in Real Life or Get Smart, that he had gone into a meeting at Warner Brothers and thought it was an audition. And it actually brought his headshots and everything with him, and even after they had basically told him, yeah, we're giving you this part, he still didn't realize that they were giving him the part because he wasn't used to, he was still expecting, even at that height of his career, that he was still going to have to fight.
Yeah, we're actors, our whole lives have been spent going into rooms, you know, performing for strangers and hoping for a good phone call. I mean, and mostly that we get the bad phone call. Oh, no, went in a different direction or whatever. So I totally know where he's coming from. I've never heard that story. That's really cool.
Yeah, it definitely, it was an eye-opener to me because it was as I had first kind of started and I had gone into an audition that I felt like I nailed. And then they did the callback, and then they told me, oh, yeah, we decided to make them Hispanic. And I was like, oh, yeah, I kind of can't pull that one off.
But that's constant. I mean,
yeah, that's the business.
You know, and yet other times it's worked in my favor. They've switched a role to meet me. You know what I mean? So it's so crazy. What I always say about this business is it's one of the few businesses where things can just be so bleak, just so down. You can just be so down, and one phone call changes everything.
Yeah.
So literally, like, hey, I just got a call from so and so that'd like you to come to New York and do, you know, it can change overnight in this business. It's so crazy. It can go from good to bad. Like yesterday, I had a very weird day yesterday. I was at the post office and I saw Corey Haim. Or no, Corey Feldman. Corey Haim is dead.
Yeah.
Corey Feldman. And I was like, wow, whatever. Because, you know, he's certainly had quite a ride, you know, career wise.
Yeah.
And then I go to Ralph's, which is our local grocery store, and I see Matt LeBlanc. I mean, talk about two different levels of crazy success, you know what I mean? And I don't know. It's a crazy business we're in. It's ridiculous.
I'm more impressed to know that Matt LeBlanc is shopping at Ralph's and not Vaughn's or Whole Foods.
He's there all the time, and I've worked with him a couple of times. He's the nicest guy in the business. He's such a sweet guy. Such a sweet guy. Yeah, he goes to the Ralph's, I go to the Ralph's. Well, one day it was funny. These Girl Scouts were, you know, selling cookies at the front of the place, and so I go in, and the guy was like, oh, my God, would you take a picture with my girls and all this kind of stuff? I said, yeah. And he goes, well, today has just been full of celebrities. First Tori Spelling, and now you. And I said, well, you really need to rethink the term celebrity. You really? He goes, no, 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 you guys are big in my eyes. You go, okay, but you really need to rethink that term.
Well, one of the very first films I was a feature extra in was with Tori Spelling.
So oh, that, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, she lives just a couple blocks from me. Yeah. Have you been watching her reality show?
I haven't. I've seen a couple episodes when my wife's had it on, but I've never really watched much of it.
I gotta tell you, it's the one about this divorce, you know, this dating scandal thing. And I've never, ever felt dirtier watching a reality show. It's so raw and so, I guess raw is the word. It's, I can't believe she's doing it. I can't believe she's doing it on television. It's shocking. It's really shocking.
That brings the ratings, though.
I guess, you know, and everyone's looking for a paycheck. I don't know. It wouldn't be my way to deal with life, but, you know, that whatever. You know, she's had her own journey, so, but wow.
Yeah.
A pretty intense show. So are you a full-time actor?
Not yet. So hoping to be, doing every random job there can be to kind of continue to crack my way into the business.
That's what you got to do. What it is.
Yeah, it's work for free a lot, and keep hoping that when those paying jobs pop up, they're going to go somewhere.
Yeah, Tim, when I was in Chicago, my dad would say to me, because my dad was one of those 8-to-5ers his whole life, and, you know, raised his family, and just very solid, you know, very Midwestern, solid, middle class kind of dude. And so one day he goes, let me understand this. He goes, you work all day downtown, and then you go and spend all night at a theater that they don't pay you any money, and you actually lose money doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you explain that if someone who only understands 8-to-5, make a good living and support your family?
Yeah, that's I've had to give that same experience to my parents, even with that, where they as I go into the fall here, I finally told him, you know, I'm going to continue to work part time, and I'm going to end up going to Groundlings instead.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. We're idiots. And yet, there's no doctor, so it is what it is.
Yeah, and I can't pass it up. I've looked at it as I'm just about done with my film degree, and realized, you know, spending time at Groundlings is almost more beneficial than an actual degree in
yes.
film. So before we let you go here, Jim, I mean, we of course have to ask a little about Parks and Rec. I know you guys are getting ready to to go into the final season here, from what I've heard.
Yeah, no, we're gonna wrap it up.
So I mean, how do you feel going into this final season, knowing that, you know, such a fantastic show? I mean, this show I think is one of the funniest shows on TV, and I feel like, I mean, when I'll talk to people about it, they'll, oh yeah, I don't know if I get it. And it always makes me laugh, right? Because I'm like, it is so smart the way that it is written. And I feel like it's a very intelligent audience that really watches Parks and Rec. So I mean, with this ending, I mean, how do you see this going out now that you know, Amy's, you know, in a whole new career change with the department?
Yeah, it's first of all, we found out a while ago that this was going to be the final season. So we, you know, cast knew, and I still have the email. Wow, I mean, it's going to be so tough to leave. It's going to be just incredibly tough to leave. That being said, no show is on forever. Everybody goes into, you know, hoping that you get a show that goes past a pilot, let alone 7 seasons.
Yeah.
So the run will have been amazing. We'll have done, I think it's around 125 episodes by the time we wrap, maybe 130. I don't know exactly, but it will have been one hell of a run. And I believe, and I don't write it, so I can brag about this because I can't take credit for it. I believe every season has even gotten stronger. I think it's rare that a show can do this many seasons and still hold its head up high. And I think the decision to end it, as much as it kills me to not be with these people every day when this is over, we're going to go out on a high. And I think that's the way to leave. I really think it's the way to leave. It's I don't want people people wanting us gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, our fans have been so diehard and so, oh my God, just so loyal. And I don't want those people to go, no, that went a season too long or that, you know, whatever. So I think the timing is probably right. And again, I say that from my mind. My heart says no, keep it going another 100 seasons, which is just not possible. So as far as what they're going to do, I really don't know. Other than we are definitely 3 years in the future. There's no, that was not like some gimmick.
Yeah.
We are 3 years in the future. There will be no babies. Amy, we will not see Leslie pregnant. Like, you know, before the jump, she was pregnant.
Yeah, which I thought was really smart that they did that.
Yeah, oh boy. I mean, well, all, you know, Amy's like, okay, I have kids at home. I don't need this here. Like, you don't need to be going through all this. So, yeah, I don't think there'll be a lot of babies in the next season. But I'm dying to see what they do. And, you know, they do a writer's retreat, I think. Boy, it's either going to be the end of this month or the beginning of June. I saw with some of the writers the other day. And that's when they kind of flesh out thoughts for the season. So I don't know how much they have planned. I don't think they have a whole lot planned to figure out what's happening yet. But I have every expectation that we will go out on a high note. I just, Mike Schur is, you know, he co-created with Greg Daniels. And like you said, it's such an intelligently, no, it's so smart. And you're right, there are people who will go, I don't get it. Well, and that's cool. I mean, there's shows I don't get that other people brag about how awesome it is. But this is a very, it's a smartly written show. It just is. And again, I'm not bragging. I don't write it.
Yeah.
So I just get to be part of it. I have such mixed feelings. I'm all over the place. Because also, on top of the cast, we have become so close with the crew. The crew is, you know, some of my dear friends now. We've been together for 6 seasons. It's going to be tough. And, you know, you can say, listen, I'll see you soon. Well, the television and film, once you get on another project, it's all engrossing. You know, it's tough to be available to go grab coffee and a beer or whatever. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. I predict a lot of tears come December.
Yeah, I mean, and not just from the cast and crew, but from the fans. I mean, it's definitely a show that the fans have absolutely loved. I know I'm really sad to see it go. But, I mean, like you said, you guys are going to go out on a high note, and I think that's the only way that a show should go out is on a high note.
I do, too. And I think Amy and Mike sat down and had that discussion. From my understanding, and I don't know all the details, I think we were kind of offered whatever we wanted, whether we wanted a full season, I don't think NBC, and again, I'm speaking just from what my perception is, I don't think NBC said this is your final season. I get the feeling Amy and Mike said, we want to go out how we want to go out. And let's do it now. You know, because Amy had always said she wanted to do 7 seasons. That seemed to be her goal. And she'll have gotten it. You know, we'll have done 7 seasons. So, yeah. But, yeah, it'll be a tear fest in December. It's going to be rough.
My last question here for you, Jim, is with the writing, when they came to you a couple seasons ago and told you about the fart attack scene, what was your reaction to the fart attack?
Well, it's so funny you would ask that, because Amy is very much the kind of mother hen to all of us. Like, you can tell she's watchful. Is everyone okay? Is everyone feeling good? Blah, blah, blah. And she had come up to me and she goes, are you okay with this? I said, Amy, I get to fart and have a heart attack? A dream. Are you kidding me? This is a comic actor's dream. So I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. And I know some people are against the fart humor, blah, blah, blah. But the fact of the matter is, it is a medical fact.
Yeah.
That sometimes during a heart attack, it turns into a gastric experience. So they came from it from an actual medical place. It was not just made up for comedy. This is a true medical fact that could happen during a heart attack.
It was brilliant.
Legit than ever. Yeah. And then when Aziz is like, oh my God, it smells like a dinosaur fart. I mean, so crazy.
Yeah, I was in tears laughing. It's by far one of my favorite episodes, just because of that.
Oh,
because
that's awesome. Yeah.
It was so
it
out
was
there.
So much fun. You know, it was with Rashida, who we missed desperately, and yeah, you know, when I see some of the reruns on television, because you know, thankfully we've made syndication, it's so wild, because I'll have forever memories of, you know, you see a scene and you remember the crazy shooting of that scene. You know, because we do a lot of laughing. I mean, probably too much on set. So there's so many great, you know, just wonderful memories. And when I watched that scene, because we couldn't stop laughing shooting it. You know, I mean, it's just crazy. You see, we had a fart noise being made, so we could all, like, kind of play off of that.
Yeah.
So it was ridiculous and fun and awesome.
Well, that's great. Well, I'm great to hear. I'm glad to hear that everything's just going so well for you, Jim. I look forward to seeing, you know, this upcoming season of Parks, and as well as, you know, all of your upcoming projects. I mean, like I said, you've got just on IMDb, it was 6 different projects coming out here.
I know, but you know, it's I hope it continues. That's my hope. Time will tell. You never know. It's crazy business.
So, well, thank you so much for taking the time today, Jim. And hopefully, as I make my way back out to LA, we'll be able to connect out there and hopefully work on something together.
That would be great, Tim, and good luck. Just keep at it, dude. That's all I can tell you. Just keep at it.
Yeah, I can't imagine doing anything else at this point.
Well, then, you know what? You have no choice then. So you will keep at it because you have no choice.
Exactly.
Exactly where I am. Exactly. Have a great one, Tim. Have a great day.
Yeah, you as well. Thanks, Jim. We'll see.
Take care.